Good morning. Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 20th of August, 2024. And the Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. In the news, Eric Pfeiffer and Sabrina Halverson report today on how the Indiana Lieutenant Governor candidates express their support for the Indiana ethanol industry. And a closer look at the CBO assessment of the Farm Bill from the House Ag Committee. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says all dry the rest of the week. And corn and beans higher yesterday. John Zanker here with market analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal Opportunity Lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Lieutenant Governor candidates showing support for ethanol and reviewing the dollars and cents of the House Ag Committee's Farm Bill. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. More today from last week's Lieutenant Governor debate. The Indiana Corn Growers Association and Indiana Soybean Alliance will be championing a bill in the upcoming legislative session that will provide tax incentives to retailers who install pumps to offer higher blends of ethanol. Republican Micah Beckwith and Democrat Terry Gooden both shared their support of ethanol in Indiana. Beckwith told the crowd,
"When it comes to ethanol, one of the things right now, people are being limited by what the government is the handcuffs the government's putting on. So when it comes to 88, instead of going, even just jumping up from 87 to 88, it's a government roadblock. And so if we get the government out of the way, that'll increase so much more ethanol production in the state of Indiana."
Beckwith also touched on sustainable aviation fuel and the roadblock the federal government is putting up there, preventing American farmers from participating in that market.
"And we've got biodiesels that could really go a long way when it comes to aviation fuel, and Indiana could be a leader in that. But it's going to have to take the state fighting the federal government. Say, get out of the way, let us be innovative, and let us go down that path." And so that's what we'll do. I'll do that as Lieutenant Governor, and Mike Braun will do that as well.
Gooden said that for him, it all comes down to education.
"What my dream is and what my hope is we don't just have 10% ethanol. What I would love to be able to see is for our scientists to continue to push where all of the fuel can be made from corn and soybeans. And that's what I'm talking about, growth on the family farm. So as we work forward in Indiana, as we move forward in Indiana, we have to figure out those ways. Okay, how do we incentivize folks to study this?"
Gooden told the crowd that it was hard for him to say as an IU grad, but Purdue produces some of the best farming scientists in the world. He hopes their studies on ethanol continue. How accurate is the CBO's assessment of the House Ag Committee's Farm Bill proposal? As Sabrina Halverson reports, one Senate ag leader suggests it may be worth another look.
A recent Congressional Budget Office report estimated the House Ag Committee's Farm Bill proposal is $33 billion over budget. However, Senate Agriculture Committee ranking member John Bozeman of Arkansas says CBO did not give enough consideration to the House bill's use of USDA's Commodity Credit Corporation funds.
"Well, what they're trying to do in the House is use some of the CCC dollars. The CCC to me is for farmers. Okay, it should be spent on agriculture. The big climate initiative of Secretary Vilsack was a couple billion dollars that again is peripherally attached to agriculture. I think that there's a lot of money floating out of there that could be used in better ways. And so that's what they're saying is let's use some of those dollars for the ag safety net, which desperately needs to be improved. It just simply doesn't work.
CCC funds are used to implement specific programs established by Congress, as well as to carry out activities under the authorities of the CCC Charter Act. Bozeman says the CCC wording in the previous Farm Bill worked at the time, but things have changed.
The 2018 Farm Bill was a great bill for 2018 and 2019, and then the pandemic came. And the 2018 Farm Bill, which was based on 2012 data, it simply doesn't work. What they're trying to use is some of those CCC dollars. That there's a lot of money there, and so that's what they were trying to capture. CBO refused to give them any credit for that.
Bozeman says lawmakers would still like to complete a new bill this year. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
Thank you, Sabrina. Lawmakers aren't the only ones that would like that. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmers' stories at fcma.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
The Midwest Weed Control Field Day is coming to Purdue's Miggs Horticulture Research Farm on Wednesday, September 11th in Lafayette, Indiana. Hear from experts on weeding tools of all scales, watch field demos, and make connections with other farmers, companies, and suppliers. For more information about the Midwest Mechanical Weed Control Field Day, call Crystal at 217-840-2128 or visit online and search Midwest Mechanical at thelandconnection.org. That's thelandconnection.org for the Midwest Weed Control Field Day.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Not too difficult of a forecast again today because we are fully dry for the rest of this week. Temperatures looking to stay warm but not overly hot through at least Thursday. Humidity value staying down and comfortable for at least Thursday or through Thursday. We'll start to see humidity values creep up a little bit late week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But all of this still happening with no precipitation. As a matter of fact, if you just want to jump ahead to the ending, our next round of moisture, real moisture, frontal boundary moisture that everybody has a chance at, next Thursday afternoon into Friday. That's a front that's coming in from the west and northwest. The only other time we see moisture trying to pop up ahead of that is maybe Tuesday midday and afternoon. See a cluster of thunderstorms popping up over only 10 to 20% of the Hoosier State. So yeah, we've got some moisture in there, but generally not looking at a big time precipitation outbreak for a little while. That means as long as temperatures stay where they are, we are going to be seeing evaporation be at a maximum. Even with higher humidity values, we're going to dry out very quickly. And a large chunk of you are going to be telling me about the end of this week, weekend, or early next week, hey, Ryan, really could use a rain, because we're going to have to make it through this upcoming 10-day forecast window on the heels of what we picked up over the late week and weekend last week, Saturday, Sunday, and that wasn't very much in a large part of the state. So I'm looking at a very dry finish to August. We'll see whether the soybeans can hold in here and thrive. The good news is we're not looking at baking under some significant heat through this dry stretch, but we are going to get warmer as we move forward. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig. Corn solid, soybean futures solid on Monday. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Monday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. Settlements coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis. And for that, I spoke with John Zanker near the end of trade. John with Risk Management Commodities. John, a nice bounce to open the week. And we've seen that when we hit new lows. And we did again on Friday, the new lows part. So on Monday, we again bounced, but this one seemed pretty solid overall. What did you make of action throughout the course of the session?
Yeah, this one's pretty impressive, I have to admit. And like you said, most of our contract lows, which are now multi-year lows at the same time, most of those, we saw some corrections, and corrections or rebounds back to the upside, and not many more than any more than what we're seeing here currently. So, you know, close to 20-cent gain on beans and 7-cent gain on corn. That's pretty impressive. Now, I still think it's mostly about some short covering, some profit taking, some technical things going on. If we close strong today, I think that could feed over for the next day or two. Unfortunately, I think the Pro Farmer Tour won't be able to send out much more after today that's going to be supportive to the market. And from what we're hearing in South Dakota and Ohio so far, they're not finding anything of great concern about those two states. And both of those states had a few problems as we've gone along this summer.
We do have what appears to be a possible dry period for week, maybe even 2 weeks. Is that also supportive of the markets today? Did that come into play to any great extent?
Oh, I think so. I think you could attribute at least half of today's gain to that west weather forecast. If you look at the past 7 days precipitation, we had good coverage, probably 80% coverage of the Corn Belt, a lot of 1 to 2 inch amounts in some of the prime growing areas. But, you know, to go the last 2 weeks of August without any rain in most areas, that's a bit concerning as far as, at least as far as saying, hey, we're going to increase the yield over and above what the USDA is currently showing us. So had we had another rain coming up here in a week to 10 days, I would have felt very confident that the USDA's current yields would be exceeded next month and potentially again in October. With this lack of rain, my conviction on that is not nearly as strong, Andy. And part of that's the double crop situation. But I like to see rains in that last 2 weeks of August to really finish out the beans in particular.
Corn and bean export inspections report this morning. Better, the number was better than the 10-week average for both corn and beans, and at the upper end of expectations, but was it in any way a market mover?
I think there's some support from that as well. Corn at 45.9 beats the 10-week average. We finished very strong this year versus last year. And beans at 14.6 beats the 3-week average by about 3 million bushels. And I'm pretty impressed with how we finished the marketing season up there. On the year, very poor number at 1.7 billion. But I like how we finished. Unfortunately, of that 14.6, only 2.2 went to China. And China's sales on the books are at multi-year lows. Sales on the books for new crop right now are 50% of last year and a 17-year low, Andy. So I have some very strong concerns as we move forward. We need to see those export sales start to pick up. We did see some sales to China, new crop sales, but nothing of a stunning number. And we need to keep in mind that from this point forward last year, we typically saw some good sales reports. So big concerns there, but I like what's going on with corn. My biggest concern with corn is there's still a lot of old crop corn to move, and there's still a lot of new crop corn that needs to be priced as well as we move into the harvest period.
John Zenker, Market Analysis. John with Risk Management Commodities. Their number is 866-837-9027. Now, Monday settlements, 7.5 cents on the gain for September corn, ending at 378. December goes to $4.25, picking up 7.75. March up 8.25, 419.25. Beans led the way all day. September 956.25, up 17.5 cents. Novi 19 higher, 976. And January ends at 994.5, a gain of 18.5 cents. Down just a little in the wheat market. September, a penny and three quarters lower, 5.28 and a quarter. December, 5.52 and a quarter, down a quarter. The meat's higher. October live cattle, 179.02, up 72. And October lean hogs, a gain of $1.72, going to 76.80. And that is the Monday Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.